I am becoming more and more convinced there is one answer to all of our problems. We just need to see Jesus more. And the clearer our vision of Him is, the answer to all of the questions is Him. That's it. You know? And it boils down to being just that simple and just that complicated. Blanton is famous for saying that you get what you preach. If you preach about sin, what you get is a lot more sin. So last week we talked about attitude. And how many of you had yours seriously challenged this week? I had mine seriously challenged. You know, I shared with you that I had jokingly asked my boss when he told me what my goal was for not this past week, but the week before. I asked him if he was on drugs because it had been set so high. And Monday, when I got my new goal, he'd only dropped it $70. And I was only supposed to work 4 days last week. I was supposed to be off Friday to go to a class on PowerPoint. So when Thursday came around, I was still behind the eight ball. So I got up a little earlier than I normally do and left home a little earlier than I normally do and got about 2 miles from the house and my truck broke down. And if you remember Thursday, it was raining and it was cold and I like to froze to death before the wrecker got there, and the truck was in the shop all day Thursday, and so I lost an entire day's worth of work. While I was at home, I called the community college to see if I could move to the next date that they were going to have the class because I knew I'd have to work on Friday. And they said, "Oh yeah, we've been meaning to call you. Not enough people signed up. In fact, you were the only one who signed up, so we postponed the class anyway." So Friday morning, we went over to pick the truck up and it wasn't ready, so we had to go rent one. So I didn't start actually to work. I normally start at 6:30. I wasn't able to start until about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, they brought me my... Of course, we had to go rent a truck, then go over where mine was, take stuff off my truck and put it on the rented one. Then I had to go work as long as I could. At 2 o'clock, they bring me my truck. We take stuff off the rented one, put it back on my truck. I get home about 8:30, and yesterday morning my boss calls me and says, "I don't know how you did it, but you beat your goal by $40 in only 4 days. But I'm going to tell you something. I came home Friday night and I told my wife, I said, "I've been whining like a 2-year-old all day long." And I just admit it. Because you get what it is you preach on. And I had a serious challenge to my attitude this past week. A serious challenge. I got a piece of literature not long ago that crossed my desk that asked this question. It said, "Is there a sermon pit in your parking lot?" And what it was talking about was that it wanted to help me to make the messages more dynamic, all sort of things, so that it wouldn't fall in this pit in the parking lot and people would be able to remember it as they went home. And I thought to myself, I don't think we have that problem at Lamplight. So I just threw the literature away. But if we've got a pit in the parking lot, I'd like for you to take away everything that was said last week and throw it in it. Over this past week, everybody I've run into who was in church last Sunday, I said to them, "What was last Sunday's message on?" And they went, And I got a lot of different answers, but nobody told me what the point was. Anybody want to venture to guess? Anybody want to tell me what they think the point to last Sunday's message was? That's close, but that's not it. That wasn't the point. Anybody know what the point was? Change your attitude, you change your life, change your thinking.
You didn't pick up a lot of pennies you could have picked up.
That was the point. I mean, why did you all miss that? They were pennies from heaven. Anybody want to tell me what? See, nobody knows. Or you don't, yours doesn't count because I talked to you. Okay. That's close. That was yeah, you were getting there. Okay. So most of the time when I say, you know, if you weren't here last week, get last week's tape. Well, this week I want to say, if you weren't here last week, don't bother. Okay? Just let it go. Now, I will tell you this. Someone said to me, oh yeah, I know what it was on superstitions. Yeah, pennies. No, that wasn't what it was on. Several people said to me, yeah, I know what it was on. And I said, what? And they said, we've been being taught really good for 30 years. We've not lived up to what it is we know. I said, that's not the point. But if that's what you got, that's good enough for me. I'll take that one. Yours was, yes, that's right. But here's, good. Your attitude was better this week. Okay. Okay. In fact, Janet came to me after church last Sunday and said, you know, I've never really thought of myself as being a superstitious person. But she said, when I really got to thinking about it, she said, I don't like for a black cat to run across the front of my car. How many remember that superstition? Remember that? But she was talking about that at her work, they set what she believed to be an unreasonable goal for her to be able to meet. And that it's been a much better week at her work. And would you say that it's been much better because of an attitude change? That's okay.
The goal was still there.
But the attitude was changed. What I came to understand is this. I was talking to Mom and Dad this week, and this is what Dad helped me to understand. There are times when you build your case and you make your point. There are times when you make your point, then you build your case. And last week what I did was I built my case, and when I made the point, we were also focused on the proof that we missed the point. And so what should have been done was I should have made the point and then built the proof around it, because that's all we remember was the proof. It wasn't about superstitions. It wasn't about pennies. It was, to a degree, about attitude. Okay? But that really wasn't the gist of it. Okay? And I'm going to approach it again this week, except this week I'm going to make my point and then I'm going to build my proofs. Okay? Because here's the thing. If we believe that it was something that God wants us to hear, we don't need to move on until we've heard what it is God wants us to hear. Alrighty? So that's why your outline this week looks exactly the same as it did last week. Okay? Now, let's talk about, for a moment though, when you change. Do we need all the slides? Can it go down just a little bit? It can go down just a little bit. Thank you, Wes. When you change your thinking, you'll change your beliefs. Alrighty, and I've got a few copies of this left over. If any of you were not here last week and would like to have a copy of this, Wes will be glad to give it to you. And if we need more, he can run us a copy. But when you change your thinking, that's when you change your beliefs. Because you see, it's the things that you think about that become your beliefs. The story I like to tell is this. It's like a child is laying in the bed in the middle of the night and the room is dark. They begin to think that there's a monster in the closet. And then they begin to scream out because they've thought about it long enough. They now believe that there's a monster in the closet. And you can go in there and turn the light on and shine the flashlight and say, you know, there's no monster in here. But until they change their thinking, their beliefs are going to stay the same. When you change your beliefs, then you begin to change your expectations. You know, it's like Henny Penn. The sky is falling if you believe it's always falling. You know? There are a lot of people in this world who are Eeyore. You know? Don't want to go outside today. It may rain. You know? Well, then it is raining where you are, Eeyore. Because what you believe is going to set your expectations. And we get what it is we believe in, don't we? There are a lot of people in the world who are pig pens. And everywhere they go, there's this little cloud of dust all around them. And everywhere they leave it dirtier than they found it. And they leave it dirtier than the way they found it by their expectations and their beliefs and the things that they think about. When you change your expectations, then you change your attitude. Because your expectations affect your attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Swindoll, was the first one I heard to say this. But attitude is everything. Life is not 90% of what happens and 10% of how you respond. It's the other way around. Life is more 10% of what happens and 90% of how you respond to it. And the thing is that many times we as believers, we have a pitiful attitude about something, and we think to ourselves, well, my attitude is this way because of what's happened. No, what's happened only exposed what our attitude is. We think to ourselves that I have this attitude because of what has happened. No, what has happened has exposed what kind of attitude we have. That's why the same thing can happen to two different people and they respond in two different ways. And what we have done is we've said, well, of course Frank responds with such a good attitude because that's just the kind of person he is. Well, how did Frank get to be that way? He changed his thinking. None of us are born with a good attitude. And at some point, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to quit. And this is the point. We have got to quit selling ourselves the lines that we sell ourselves that we choose to believe that keep us where it is we are. I said to you last week, insanity. Continuing to do the same thing but expecting the results to be different. It is not easy to change. But it is worthwhile. And if we are going to live in the kingdom, which is the ultimate end of where it is I'm trying to get us to go, if we're going to live in the kingdom, we must allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us and through us and with us for our thoughts, our behavior, our expectations, and our attitudes to be different. When you change your attitude, you change your behavior. Because you see, that's the next progression. Because what's going on the inside reflects what it is I'm doing on the outside. People who have an attitude of being angry behave in an angry manner. Don't they? And people who think about being angry, and their expectations are somebody's going to make me mad today, so that then becomes their belief. Then when something happens, it's like, do you know that the guy who pulls over on you in traffic, you can scream and cuss and give him the number one sign, and you can do all the things you want to do, and it makes no difference and changes him none whatsoever? It doesn't even change the event. But you see, what we've done is we've sold ourselves a bill of goods that he made me mad. When in truth, we chose to be mad at what it was he did. That's right. See? But y'all are looking at me like, uh-uh. And I think of myself as a really good driver. And I've been there too, where I've just like, my expression was, you can't drive it, park it. That was my expression. But I have changed that thinking to express, I'm going to give you the same grace I want somebody to give me. But you see, here's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on something to happen to us to where we get that attitude. What I'm saying is that attitudes are developed one thought at a time. One thought at a time. When you change your behavior, well, come on. You change your performance. You change what it is you do. And when you change your performance, you have then changed your entire life. All righty? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, those two verses right there are verses that have been quoted, taught, teach, spoken, put on refrigerators, bathroom mirrors for 20 years. Okay? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the point. Alrighty? Is that possible? Is it possible for every thought to be brought into the obedience of Christ? If it isn't, let's go home. If it is, let's pursue it. Because how many of you will raise your hands with me and say, I had some thoughts last week I wished I hadn't thought. I had some attitudes last week I wished I didn't have. I have some beliefs I wished I didn't have. And my performance had not always been exactly what I would like for it to have been. Now, the conversation last week about superstitions, see, that was not the point. That was just a part of the thought. Superstitions, for those of you who are not here, superstitions I defined as another power and influence that has control in our lives. And we would be surprised at how many people live their lives under the bondage of superstitions and don't even recognize it as being bondage. But the thought is not brought into the captivity of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me read you verse 5 out of the NIV. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now there were some other translations that I wanted to share with you. One of them says, we are engaged in confuting, which means to prove to be wrong, convict of error, and prove to be false. Arguments and pulling down every barrier raised against the knowledge of God. You see, we have this thought that says, whatever situation we might be facing, I'm not going to make it. Whereas the knowledge of God says, you are going to make it. See, that's where this thing becomes serious. Because it's not, as we say, a passing thought. What that passing thought is an affront to the truth of God in your life. And what we do when we entertain that thought is we give it credence. We give it validity. We give it power in our lives. When we then sit and we meditate on the negative thoughts that the enemy whispers into our ears, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to get ahead. Life's always going to be tough. See? And we sit around and we go, yes, it is. And what does the Bible say about the power of agreement? The point last week was, we can live a life where every thought comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, what? See, that's our problem. We are living so far from the kingdom that when we hear things about the kingdom, we go, it can't be. That's our problem. Another translation said, we are destroying speculations. I'm going to give you Don Hall's definition of a speculation. A speculation is an opinion with no facts to back it up. Think about it. I worked on this yesterday morning, and then I went out and was mowing my yard, and I was milling it over in my spirit and everything. And that's what came up inside of me. A speculation is an opinion with no facts to back it up. And see, every time the enemy whispers a lie to you, that's exactly what it is. It's his opinion, but he got nothing to back it up with. We are destroying speculations. And causing every thought to come under the authority of Christ. We make every mind surrender to Christ's service. We compel every human thought to surrender to the obedience of Christ. That is the point. It's not really so much about change. It's not about superstitions. It's about living a life where every thought that crosses your mind comes under Christ's leadership, lordship. I'm going to share with you the Amplified Version. Okay? Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's how 2 Corinthians 10:5 reads in the Amplified. Now, let me bring the point down to just one sentence. Okay, you ready? According to this, the point is this. You are leading every thought, or every thought is leading you. And we lead every thought and purpose captive. If we don't, then every thought is leading and captivating us. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is just too simple. We try to complicate it. We try to make it all so hard to understand and so difficult. And all. It's really simple. It boils down to two things. The things we think about are leading us, or we are leading the things we think about. Somebody is in captivity. Now, who is it? It's either me or it's my thoughts. But one of the two of us has got to be in captivity. Is that what that verse says? One of the two of us has got to be in captivity. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we can live in the kingdom a life that is free from thoughts of worry. Well, thank you, Brian. It's just me and you, buddy. Because a couple people said, uh-uh, I heard it. I didn't hear it, but I heard it. See, because we have this belief system that says, no, I can't. And we got that belief system because we sat around and we thought about it. We as believers are the only people in the world with this potential. We as believers have the opportunity to live a life where there is no worry. That doesn't mean that we're on the yellow brick road and we're going to see the wizard. I've heard that he is a whiz of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. Okay? I'm not talking about, you know, this is not Kansas, Toto. But I'm talking about a life that even in the midst of the storm swirling all around us, that we are the eye in the middle. Now what we're looking for is for God to just kind of jerk us up from where we are and set us in the eye. Let me tell you something. To get to that eye sometimes is a struggle.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Storm has to pass over you before you get in the middle. There's a song they play on station I listen to. One out of Christian station, whatever that is. Yeah, 91.9. Anyway, sometimes he calms a storm, sometimes he calms his child. But the decision on which one of those he does is up to him. Sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms his child. What I'm trying to say to you is that it is possible for us as believers to live a life without fear. Without worry. Without anger. Without lust. Without the things that weigh so heavy on our minds. It has been purchased for us at Calvary. See, that's the problem with all of these, let's meet at the Coliseum and have 5,000 people and do a big hoorah, let's adjust your attitude meeting. See, that's the problem with that. When you take Jesus out of the equation, the whole thing becomes impossible. The whole thing becomes impossible. Because I personally do not believe in what I call the little red caboose theology. I can make it, I can make it, I can. I can make it, I can make it, I can. No, you can't. Because without Jesus to fuel the engine, it is impossible for there to be, hear my words, any permanent change. Now, on my own strength, I can make temporary changes. But just as soon as I get tired, guess where I am? Right where I started. I haven't moved an inch. Because there is no permanent change without Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to believe that, it'll change the way you see things. I have people who say to me, well, you know, I've had this problem and, you know, and I've decided that I'm not going to do this anymore. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Until it comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, there isn't any such thing as permanent change. You could, you know, let's say the problem's alcohol. You can go to all the AA meetings you want to in the world. And you can get all of the positive motivation and attitude adjustments and the screw tightened down or screw loosened up or whatever. But until you're born again, you're never free. Exactly right. That's why you have to keep coming to the meetings and get yourself pumped up. Because there isn't any such thing. You can go to Overeaters Anonymous and you're still going to overeat until Jesus becomes the place where you find comfort instead of food. But it all begins with bringing every thought captive. That's where it all begins. The point is we lead every thought, or every thought leads us. Those are only two options. Now, let me try to finish this morning by saying this. We have a tendency, as Gentiles, to let our pendulums just swing in opposite directions. We have difficulty kind of sticking in the middle. Alrighty? I am not talking about a lifestyle of endeavoring to try to capture every thought that leads to a legalism. I remember some years ago, it was real popular in the charismatic people thing that somebody that everybody respected had done some teaching about, see if I can even remember what they called it now, something about frivolous conversation or foolish conversation or something like that. And all of a sudden, we all became police of what it was everybody else was saying. Anybody remember that? And we used to just talk about, you know, well, don't talk, that's just foolish talk. And the Bible says, do fool's talk. And we all of a sudden it became everybody's Holy Spirit. And what happened was is that the liberty that was endeavoring to be presented to us became legalism, in which we judged and condemned each other. Alrighty? I'm not talking about us moving to a lifestyle to where, number one, we are judged by others for what we think, or number two, where we judge ourselves for what we think. See, a lot of people have problems when I say that. Because if I'm not going to keep guard over myself, who's going to? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Last time I heard. You understand what I'm saying? My mother said to me last week, she said, well, the thing I remember the most was your animation. Sometimes I feel a lot more passionately about things than I do other times. And it just sort of comes out that way. Thank you very much. I can't do anything about it one way or another. You know, so I have to go with it. But you see, this kind of talk is just so far from what we're used to hearing that I think we have trouble kind of grasping it. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Consequently, then, you have no right to judge yourself because you don't belong to you. You belong to Him who has the right to judge. Now, be sure we find our balance in the middle, okay? In that same kingdom structure, there are people that we are submitted to and who speak into our lives. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Because what I'm trying to do is to stay away from a legalism. What I'm wanting us to find as people and as a church is a freedom to balance every thought. And does my thought honor Christ, or does my thought not honor Christ? And to not have whatever thought crosses my mind, whether it initiates from me or whether or not it's an enemy by the whisper, whisper of the enemy, to be entertained for any amount of time whatsoever. Now see, I'm going to tell you something. We are never going to stop the whispers of the enemy. Okay? That's not going to happen. He's always going to be there to dog us. So in the thought is not sin. It's in the entertaining of the thought that it then can become sin in our lives. You got to catch that point. See, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. But there's a lot of people who think that to be tempted is sin. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. The enemy whispers certain things in our ear, or our own unregenerated natures say something to us. That isn't sin. It's in the entertaining of that that we find sin. And you know, there's lots of people to help you with thoughts. I was in a store the other day and a young lady came in. And the cut on her shirt didn't leave you much to wonder about what was up under her shirt. And in order to make sure that your attention was drawn to it, she had this huge tattoo up here somewhere. Okay? And as she starts to walk out, she has on this pair of sweatpants, and right across the butt cheeks is the word perfect. Now, I did have a thought. Honey, that ain't perfection. There are times just in the society in which we live. See, and what I'm saying is I don't want us to get to a legalism to where it's, oh my God, I can't believe I had that thought. No, what we don't want to believe is that we didn't capture that thought and lead it to the obedience of Christ. Because I went through all my little smart alecky things in my head, but I got to the point where I said, Jesus, please save that young lady. Bring her into the kingdom. That's exactly right. And it ain't got nothing to do with what she's wearing on the back of her hips. Song of Solomon. Is that what I got next? Yeah. Song of Solomon says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What this is referring to is it's the little thoughts, it's the little things in our lives that undermine the entire of our lives. And it all begins with how we think. I shared with you last week when I was trying to make this point. I was standing in a store doing what it is I do. And a man walks in, walks up to the counter, and the clerk said to him, sir, how are you today? And the man said, I am doing just fine. Because I have decided that in this day, whatever it is the Lord pours in my cup, that's what I'll drink. And you know what the first thought to run through my mind was? Better be careful about giving that away. That's the first thought run through my head. Because you don't know what He'll pour in there for you to drink. Now, how many of you want to be honest enough to say, that's my first thought too? Now, my question is, where in the world did that thought come from? Where did we get the idea that God couldn't be trusted if we gave Him an empty cup? Where did we get that idea from? Oh, you better be careful what you commit to the Lord now, because He might take you up on it. There it is. There's doubt in religious cloak. Be careful what you pray for, you might get it. Well, where did we get the idea that, number one, because we prayed, God was automatically had His hands tied to where He had to answer the stupidity of our prayers? Hello? Wasn't it Garth Brooks who had the song out about some of my best blessings were unanswered prayers? Amen? No, but where did we get the idea that because we prayed, God was now then obligated to have to answer it exactly the way we asked it? I'm sure that there are times when He hears our prayers and He goes, that's just too stupid. Have you not done that with your children? Things that they've asked you? Hello? And sometimes God does it with His children. He goes, no, I know better for you than that. And some of our biggest blessings were prayers that God said no to. Amen? But where did we get this idea that God couldn't be trusted with us being simply honest with Him? and we haven't gotten healed from it. And therein lies the problem. I love to tell the story of Tripp when he was about 3 or 4 years old. And I was washing and cleaning out my van, and I looked and I saw him running across the yard, and he had his hand out in front of him and he was doing like this. And I was trying to look to see what it was that boy was doing. When I got a good angle, he was chasing a wasp that was flying at his eye level, and he was trying to catch it by its wings while it was in flight. And I hollered to him and I said, "Son, leave that wasp alone." And running in one direction and looking back over his shoulder. And how many of you know that's not a good idea either? Okay? He hollers at me and he says, "Daddy, he won't sting me." Being the good parent that I am, I hollered back at him, "Well then, catch him, son." That's just good parenting. How many of you know your children didn't stop touching the stove when you said it was hot? Okay? So just, if that's the way you want to learn your lesson, go ahead and learn your lesson that way. At least you will learn it. Okay? As I turned my attention back, the Lord tapped me on my shoulder. And if this had happened 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't, my son now is 21, I wouldn't remember it any better if it happened 5 minutes ago than it happened in almost 20 years ago. The Lord tapped me on the shoulder and He said, "You know why he's trying to catch that wasp?" And I said, "No, sir, why?" He said, "Because he's never felt the pain of having been stung." And all of a sudden, the Lord just jerked up from way down deep inside of me every sting I could ever remember that had not been dealt with. And I fell down in the back of that van and was sobbing like a child who had just had their rear end tore slam up. And all of a sudden, Tripp comes up to the back of the door and he reaches in and he grabs me by my legs. He said, "Daddy, I won't chase him no more." He didn't understand that I was not crying about him chasing that wasp. But you see, that's exactly where our mistrust comes from. It comes from unresolved stings, hurts, that we have not yet laid at the cross and allowed the blood of Christ to heal us from. Now, once again, the gospel is this simple, ladies and gentlemen. You have two choices. You can lay it down or you can carry it. It boils down to being that simple. It's easy says, does hard. I'm not arguing that point with you. I'm saying that there is a path, though, that leads to destruction and another path that leads to life. Choose life. Whoever sold us the bill of goods that life was going to be easy lied to us. Because it's not easy. But living it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the only way to make it worthwhile. Now, if I run into you this week and I say, "What was the point in Sunday's message?" This is what I want you to tell me. I can live a life where every thought is under the Lordship of Jesus. It's almost too good to believe in it. But see, that's what the kingdom's all about. It's that good. It's that good. But I want you to hear the whole thing. It's not easy, but it is worthwhile. It's not impossible. The blood makes it available. Yes, you can.
Exactly what you're talking about, I mean, I've been dealing with for months now. I mean, I'm purposely trying to get my thoughts, man, when I have a bad thought or something. But yesterday I was sitting on the couch. Perfect. I mean, I was in peace, no problems. Just, and came in from a great day. I mean, it was pretty. And Lois came in. She had ran across the street to a neighbor's and got to talking with them. And during the conversation, those people said, well, I'm sure y'all have a gun, because they were talking about somebody suspicious around the neighborhood. And this is not about if guns are right or wrong or nothing. But I'm just, she come back, and then he says, well, I'm sure Wes carries a gun. I mean, and I hardly even know these people. But Lois came and told me that. Now, I was fine, but all of a sudden, these thoughts come through my head. Do I need to get a gun? Mm-hmm. Is somebody coming through my door? Is there somebody in the neighborhood? Now, nothing's changed. No circumstances in my life. I'm sitting in the same couch. I'm sitting in the, you know, same frame of mind. But all of a sudden, these things start going through my mind. And immediately, I'm like, I was at perfect peace a while ago. What do I do with that thought? Chunk it.
Mm-hmm.
And is that perfect example? Immediately, then I hadn't thought about it again since, you know, we were talking about today, and that example comes in. But it's just, you know, where was I? Then what do I want to entertain? Do I want to worry about it? It's going to cause worry. It's going to cause fear. Or what, you know, Lord, are you telling me to get a gun? No. Then forget about it. Quit worrying about it. Quit being scared. Da-da-da-da. Put the cup out. And if the Lord's got somebody going to have me rob my house tomorrow, I'll be fine with it, if that's what it is. You know, it's that kind of thought process that I got to deal with. Now, do I worry with that? Did he want me to worry about it? No. No, go on about your business. Go on about, you know, prepare your mind, prepare your thoughts. And it was just, you know, that's just one way that, you know, I know who that was from. Mm-hmm. I know what that was about.
And see, that's a perfect example of either your thoughts leading you,
yeah,
or you leading your thoughts. One or the other. Yeah.
Yesterday, something happened while we were in Atlanta. And, you know, first, something bad happens, you know, all these bad thoughts come into your mind, but not too long after that, something the Lord said to me going down, coming back from Greensboro one day, just stood straight up in my mind, you know, and just let me know. So it's not only, you know, the bad thoughts come to mind, but he also, in the good, in the, what's the scripture say, think on the things that are lovely, think on the things
mm-hmm.
that
are true.
Even in all that, the Lord reveals himself.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. See, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is what kingdom living is all about. See, the lamb, this all boils back down, the lamb's worthy of his reward. He purchased this for you and I, and we're not willing to do what little bit we got to do to get it. Now, I can tell us that now, and we can deal with it, or we can wait until we're standing eyeball to eyeball and let him ask us about it. I'd rather deal with it now.
Yeah.
I'd rather deal with it now. Because I want all that he died for me to have. And more than anything else, I want to see him. I want to see him in me. I want to see him in you. I want to see him. I want to see him in him. I want to see him. This morning, I'm inviting you to come live in the kingdom by capturing, let's make it two things, by capturing every thought and let the blood of Jesus heal our hurts. And I promise you, I think I can say that there's not a single one of us in this room without a hurt that we don't need to surrender. There may be. But that's it's a scary thing. When people know what it is they're getting, price becomes a moot point. And all we need to do is see more of Jesus. And we'll wonder why we didn't start captivating thoughts years ago. I can live a life without worry. I can live a life without fear. I can live a life where absolutely every thought that enters my head can come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Those times when I think to myself, I'd like to just kill them. Those times when I find out that one of my children's done something and I go, oh, Jesus. Hello? When there's rumors at work about them laying off. When there are wars and there are rumors of wars. When gas prices, you know, I'm old enough to remember when people said, gas gets to be a dollar, I ain't buying another gallon of it. Everybody as old as me is laughing, you know. But how many of you, some of you, how many of you said that, you know? If it ever gets to be a dollar, I ain't never buying another gallon. Well, just turn around twice, it's going to be $2. Okay? But it's a matter of, so what? If Jesus can't meet my every need according to His riches and glory, let's go home. Let's make a conscious decision to not let the attitude, the expectations, and the belief we have be dictated by the 6 o'clock news. But to capture every thought, bring it into the obedience of Christ. And every whisper of the enemy led away. Where we're leading our thoughts are not leading us. So I want to ask you, will you start right now this moment? See, because there's no poofing. Okay? I wish there was, but there isn't. There's no poofing. There's no magical prayer that we can pray that when we walk out of here, oh, bless Jesus, my every thought will be captive now. No. Every thought becomes captive when with every thought we make a decision to bring it into captivity. And we keep doing it, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it until it becomes what we do without thinking about it anymore. But will you make a decision right now? Lord Jesus, every thought I think, I'm going to weigh it in the balance. And if it is exalting itself against what Your Word says is true, I will bring it into captivity and it will not kill me. If we just start living that much, we ain't even scratched, we still can't even see the kingdom from where we're standing. If we just lived that much, imagine the potential that we would have to affect this world for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are going to make it. We are going to be great in Your kingdom. We are going to be children of righteousness. And we are going to be a people who pursue Your heart. Let us, O God, help us and allow us to meditate on these things. And in that meditation, allow us to become them. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Look forward to seeing you this evening at 6 for our Open Love Concern meeting.